You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Connect Community, good morning and welcome to our last Sunday service of the year. We're so glad you're tuning in. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. We are looking at the parable of the talents today. So we're going to go ahead and read the parable together. If you have your Bibles, it's in Matthew chapter 25. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received 1 talent went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, "Master, you have delivered me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." He also who had received 1 talent came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." His master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast a worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Jesus shared these parables, these stories, and refer them to the kingdom of God, a new mode of living, a new government, as we saw last week. One thing that I notice is that the servants, all of them, had a good start. As you saw in the parable, Jesus said that the master gave to each according to their ability. They didn't all get the same amount, but they all had a good start. See, 1 talent is worth 20 years of somebody's wages. Now I think about Jesus's hearers listening to this story and imagining the amount that the master had entrusted with each one of his servants. Now they didn't all get the same amount, but they all had a great start. If you were to apply it to today's money, the one that got 1 talent received $1 million. The one who got 2 talents, $2 million. The one who got 5 talents, $5 million. They didn't all get the same, but they all were millionaires. That's a good start. And if you were to apply that to you and I, our lives, think about everybody who's watching right now, everyone who's part of your community, our community, not just Connect Community, but your family and your friends, your coworkers. We all had different starts in life. We all came from different backgrounds. But if you pay attention to what you have on the inside, Sure, certain situations were not fair. Maybe you came from a background that was not the best. But on the inside, you have talents, you have gifts, you have things that God has given you that can set you up for a great start. That's the lesson that Jesus is giving us. Every single person made in the image of God was born of talents, was born with gifts, was born with possibilities. And Jesus is sharing us here. He's making a clear distinction in the story that at the end of our lives, when it's all said and done, what is going to matter is what we have done with what we have been given. See, we are stewards. And as stewards, what will make your life distinct, what will make my life distinct, is what we do with what we have been given. How we exercise the gifts and talents, the opportunities, the possibilities that we've been given. Another thing we can observe in this passage is that the two servants who multiplied, they saw what the master had given them as a blessing. And the one who hid his talent saw it as a burden. And if you think about your life and you think about what you have been entrusted, many times there's a fine line between blessing and burden. Think about all the moms watching right now with little kids. Man, it's such a blessing to be a parent. It's such a blessing to raise kids. It's such a blessing to have the joy of seeing them grow up and teaching. But it can also be a burden. I think about everyone who has started a business or started a career or took on a new level of education. Man, it's such a blessing. It's such a privilege to be able to see your vision come to pass, to be able to see something that was on the inside only as an idea become a reality, but it can also be a burden. It's such a fine line between blessing and burden when you're dealing with possibilities and opportunities that God puts your way. But it's important for us to learn that we ought to see what we have been given as a blessing and not as a burden. Because as we continue to see it as a blessing, our perspective will guide our mindset, and it will guide our actions. Those who saw it as a blessing multiplied it. Those who saw it as a blessing lived up to the expectation of the master. And the one who saw it as a burden got afraid, froze, didn't respond appropriately to what he was given. Here's another thing that we can observe from this parable. Some things in our lives are a matter of fact. Others are a matter of perspective. What do I mean? There are certain things in your past, certain things in your present right now that are a matter of perspective. You may think they are a matter of fact, but in fact, they are a matter of perspective. Example, you might say, JD, there's no hope for my marriage. Things have gotten so bad. I don't see a way out. Is that a matter of fact or a matter of perspective? I would venture to say that in most cases, it is a matter of perspective. Because if you were to change your attitude, change the way you see your life, change how you interact, you will begin to see that situation turn around. Same thing can be said about your finances. You might say, JD, I don't have enough money. I just don't make enough money. It's just never enough. Is that a matter of fact or is it a matter of perspective? If you look at your ledger, if you count your budget and you see where your money is actually going, is it a matter of fact that you're not making enough? It could be a matter of fact. Or is a matter of perspective, meaning you're trying to live a life at a standard that you're not earning enough to. See, some things are a matter of fact. Others are a matter of perspective. And we have to keep those things in proper order. It might be that you were born in a situation that was not the best. And that is a matter of fact. It might be that when you were growing up, you didn't receive the love and care that you expected and that you hoped you did. That might be a matter of fact. It might be that you weren't given the opportunities that some of your friends were given. That might be a matter of fact. See, here's what I've learned. Most of the things that are a matter of fact are in your past. But most of the things in your future are really a matter of perspective. What happens sometimes is that we let the facts in our past determine how we see our future. And what I believe Jesus is trying to encourage us here is to not allow the facts of the past, the negative facts of the past, shape our perspective toward the future. Sometimes we do that ourselves. Let me tell you what I mean by that. In a relationship, you might have had a relationship that was bad in the past. It didn't work out. It's a matter of fact. You let that fact shape how you see every single relationship from that point on. Every person is judged through those lenses. Every encounter is analyzed according to the facts of the past. And it's hard for you to create a perspective of the future that is detached from that negative situation that you faced. Let me encourage you to have a new perspective, gain a new perspective, and to take inventory of your lives. That's why this season of the year is so important. We're approaching the final days and final hours of a year that has been so surprising, that has brought so many curveballs. It's so important for us to pause and take inventory this time of the year so that when we turn the page and we go into the new year, we go prepared with a fresh outlook, with an open heart, so that God can do new things in our lives. So let me encourage you to do that. One of the questions that you can ask yourself, what have you done with the talents that God has given you in 2020? And this is not a gotcha question. This is not a rhetorical question. This is an actual question for you to pause and think about. What are some of the things that you have done with the talents that God has given you in 2020? Another way to ask the same question is, in what areas have you grown? And it could be that you've grown in multiple areas. It could be that your faith has grown, your spirituality has grown. It could be that your marriage has grown. It could be that your career has grown. What areas in 2020 have you grown? Are you better at friendships? Are you a better friend because of the challenges of 2020? Are you better at relating to people who don't look like you, who don't think like you? Are you better at dealing with your spouse, with your friends? Are you better at dealing with money because you might have gone through some challenges in 2020 that caused you to rethink how you administer your finances? In what areas have you grown in 2020? One of the things that I've been compelled to this year as a pastor and as a leader of this church is to really bring the truth of the gospel. I've been feeling, especially in the past 3 months, this burden, not a negative burden, but just this sense in my heart, to really bring the truth of the gospel to your life so that it can cut through all the noise and you can connect to the way of God, the way of the scriptures. And the reason why I believe God has impressed it upon me is because these are times that are very important and significant. And God doesn't want you to lose sight of the fact that He is still on the throne, He is still governing your life, He's still guiding you, and He still has a way of causing you to grow, develop, and get better through this whole mess of a year that we've had. See, just because 2020 has been difficult for so many, it doesn't mean that it was not a blessing in your life. And I bet that if you pause and take inventory, you will see that God has been with you, that you have grown, that He has developed you, and there are many areas of your life that you're going into 2021 better off than you were in 2020. One of the parts of this parable that I find most poignant is the last verse, the very last part where Jesus says, "And cast a worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." He calls it the worthless servant. Wow. Now think about this. This is a warning. This is this is a passage that may seem harsh when you read it. It may seem like the master is being really harsh to that person. But what I believe Jesus is showing us here is that people who live their lives in a slothful way, people who wasted their talents, who did not invest into the opportunities and possibilities that were given to them, people who buried their talents, they will come to the end of their lives. And if they find it worthless, this is what they will experience. I don't know if you've noticed that most people tend to value the right things toward the end of their lives. We're a little bit loose with what we value when we're young, right? But as life begins to approach its later chapters, you begin to realize what really matters most. And I don't know if you've ever read stories of people who arrived to their deathbed, who got to the end of their lives and looked back and realized that they did not invest, they did not spend time, they did not use their lives and their talents and their gifts in the right way. They wasted their lives. And they get to the end full of regret, full of pain, full of this sentiment of, my life was worthless. And isn't that a place of darkness? Isn't that a place of weeping? Isn't that a place where you will find yourself in this reality that Jesus is saying? See, the truth is that we all have one life to live. And I have decided I don't want to live it like this. And I know you don't want to live it like this too. That's why you're watching today. That's why you're investing in your spiritual life. Let's learn from Jesus today. Let's learn from the scripture. And let's use this time in the holidays, in the next few days, that I hope you have some time to stop and take inventory. And let's think wisely about our lives and our decisions and change our actions, because Jesus is drawing into our actions here. Now, I want to give you holiday homework, okay? So the next couple minutes, just hone in, because I'm going to give you very practical ways where you can do that. Because my heart, our heart, Alini and I's heart as pastors, our heart as a church, is that you may live your life multiplying your talents. Is that every single one of you, whether you're a 5-talent person, a 2-talent person, or you're a 1-talent person, you're multiplying it. You're growing it. You're making it work as it is supposed to, so that when you get to the end of your life, you can say, I did it. Here it is, God. And God can look at you and say, well done, faithful servant. Here it is. I want you to pick 3 areas of your life that you're going to improve in 2021. 3 areas. And you can start broad. What do I mean by that? You start broad. I want to invest in my marriage, JD. I want to invest in my relationship. I want to invest. I want to pay attention. And I want to improve my career, parenthood, fitness. Pick 3 areas of your life, okay, that you want to improve. And I encourage you to write it down. Maybe you can write it on your phone or a piece of paper. Write it down, the 3 areas that you want to improve. After you've picked the 3 areas, I want you to get specific. For example, these are just examples, okay? If it's in your marriage, I want you to write down what you want to do. One action that you're going to do to improve that area of your life. Maybe you need to improve communication. I want you to pick the area that needs most attention, okay? The area that needs the most kind of improvement. So maybe in your marriage, you need to improve communication. You guys have a great relationship. It's not that you fight all the time, but you just don't talk. There's no communication. I want you to write down improvement communication. Maybe you need to increase intimacy. You don't feel connected. You don't feel like you know each other anymore like you used to. You know what? Pick that. Increase intimacy. Maybe you just need to have more fun. You've been going and going and going, raising kids, working, studying, doing everything, and you haven't stopped to have fun. I want you to write down, have more fun. Another example in fitness, maybe you have a goal, a weight loss goal. Maybe you want to get moving more. Maybe you want to increase strength. I want you to be specific with the area that you want to improve. And then I want you to take the next few days, probably between now and next Sunday, okay, to meditate, to pray, and to plan. We have a message next Sunday. Well, we're going to talk about small beginnings. We're going to talk about the seed. We're going to have the last parables series next Sunday, and we're going to talk about it. Aleni and I are going to get together, and we're going to have a shared message. It's going to be awesome. I want you to tune in because we're going to talk about how to get this working. So meditate, pray about it, and plan this week, okay? And because come next Sunday, beginning of 2021, I want to encourage you to act on it every single day. What does that mean? Those three things that you're going to do. I want you to do something every single day. It doesn't mean that if you want to improve your marriage, you're going to cook a gourmet meal every night. It doesn't mean that you have to bring flowers every single day. But you're going to do something every single day that is going to make that situation, make that part of your life better, okay? If you improve 1% a week, by the end of the year, you will see a dramatic improvement in your life. Now, here's what I'm believing and praying for, that as you do that, as you act, as you improve those areas of your life, God will look at you like that master, and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your master. That's what we want to see in your life. The joy of the Lord driving you forward. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. And I believe that he will take you over much in the coming years. I'm so glad to have you here today. So glad that you were able to tune in for our last service of the year. And I hope that as the new year turns around, that you will make a commitment to stay connected to God, stay connected to this church, stay connected to this community. And as you do that, God will continue to bless you. He'll continue to increase you, and he will continue to reveal himself to you. You will become who he has called you to be. We love you so much. Listen, if you are watching today and you haven't yet made a decision to follow Jesus, I want to encourage you to follow Jesus. See, he is the good father. He's the good master. He is the one who wants to bless you and guide you and give you a kind of life that is the life that you were designed and made to live. So today is a great day for you to make that decision. Would you pray with me? Would you put your hand in your heart if you can? Close your eyes and repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and make you my Savior. I give you my past, my present, and my future. Help me, God, have the right perspective. Help me, God, multiply my talents and help me become who you have made me to be. Listen, friends, if you pray that simple prayer, we believe you were born again. This is a first step in a process of transformation that God is leading you toward. Let me encourage you to pray every day. Stay connected to this church. Come to Sundays as often as you can. Our first in-person service will be on January 10th. We hope to see you there. And until we see you again, have a happy new year and be blessed.